And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio not one, but two people, Beth Scow, accompanied by Brad Hansen. Welcome to the two of you.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
So let's start with the obvious. The obvious is, since I think you were last in here, we have an operational library back in business here in the city of Palmer. Let's start with Beth. How's that working right now? Now that you've had a few days and people and your staff and everybody's getting used to how it works.
It's beautiful. People are coming back. They're excited. Kids are laughing, skipping around. It's just so nice to be there to give the public what they wanted and what they've missed, and just to be the face in the community that accepts and includes everyone.
Okay. All right. Now, Brad, have you been over to the library?
Oh, of course, Mike.
and what's your view as not a person who's working there every day, but you come in and you look and you say, what do you notice?
Well, just for instance, yesterday when I went in, there was kids in the kids' room, like Beth said, you know, running around and reading books and parents reading. So it is a great community asset, and it's nice to see it back operationally. You know, the library personnel, you know, they're not accustomed to going over in a dark 25-degree library and trying to rescue books. They're accustomed to being a part of an organization that distributes books,
sure,
finds resources and information. So that's a good part of it, too, is the employees, you know, they have a purpose again. You know, they're out there providing the services they normally do.
Okay. And the next follow-on question, which I believe many people are looking for an answer toward, is what next? That will be an interim for a while. I know there's been a process of bidding and all the rest. Maybe, Brad, talk a little bit about where that is.
Sure. Yeah, so earlier this year, we issued an RFP for design services for really three different scenarios for the library. One is to just repair the existing library. One is to expand and repair. And then one would be to replace. And really, all of those things were contingent on how much money was available for a new construction, a reconstruction. And so we were very fortunate to receive $5 million from the state government towards the library, which will be an incredible addition at a minimum to what we currently provide. But where we are right now is Beth, I and the city manager are working through it. We're the selection committee. We're working through a number of great proposals, and we're very fortunate that we had really a lot of very qualified people with significant library experience, issue their response to our RFP. And so we're working through it. And I think probably by the end of next week, for the 27th is when we're going to take it to council for the intent to award, and then hopefully sign a contract soon after, June 27th meeting. So it's a second meeting in June. So in a big picture kind of way, that's where we are. Very encouraged, though, on the quality and the number of respondents. I think we're going to have good process. And you remember this first process, the first part of this design services is, you know, the analyzation of the three different options from a cost perspective, and also community input as to where the library goes programming-wise, what services we provide, who we become, you know. So that will be the first phase, and then design phase, the more intricate, you know, 95% drawings will be a later part of something else. But this is the first phase of this whole process for trying to.
So let me recap to make sure I understand what you've just said, and that is that the three of you are putting. Are going to make a selection to present to the council, which will then approve one of these respondents being going forward to engage with the design and the public and all the rest of it in various steps?
Correct.
Okay.
That's where we'll be. Yeah. Okay. The actual, you know, ultimate final design is a different phase of this whole thing. Let's call that phase three. Phase one and phase two are accumulating and assimilating the information and trying to decide which path we're going to go down.
Okay. I think we have that, and I believe listeners probably understand that as well. But, of course, along with this is the guessing that comes down about, well, how long will this – what are we talking about for the length of phases? Mm-hmm. For example, at this point, just with what you know, can you give an estimation of when a decision would be made to say, okay, go, and they would start – they who are going to build would start building?
Hope by next spring. How's that?
Okay. No, that's reasonable. It's not a rapid, I can understand. In fact, summer is sort of here, and it's going to be gone before we know it, and we'll be, okay.
Well, I think it's kind of a crazy situation. You know, you want to rush, and you want to get a new library up, but at the same time, I think you have to take a step back and do the right thing for the next 50 years, you know, because this is the time period we're talking about. And so we want to make sure that it's what the community needs and wants, and we have the resources to be able to do it. And so, you know, when you put all those things into a puzzle, you know, they're going to take a little bit of time. And so I think that by early fall, we should have a really good idea of where we are headed with the direction, which of the three paths we're going.
Now, you mentioned $5 million from the state. Mm-hmm. There's some insurance money involved,
correct,
too.
Correct, yeah.
Do we know?
We haven't finalized that. You know, it's a minimum of two. How's that?
Okay, that's fine. That's an estimate that we can live with. So it sounds like there's at least $7 million or so, but realistically that you're going to have to find more money to do the job. Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Depends on, you know.
Depending on what's going on.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to shift back to Beth because I know that there are a lot of people who have been using the library, and I'm sure the community members, those who've used portions of it, would like to see the library enhanced in one way or another. But you and the people who have worked at the library have for years been looking, doing what you do and saying, if only this or if only that. So as you think back to that time before the roof came down, what, from your perspective, was the most important additions would you have liked to see in the library?
Space. You know, 2004, Wolf Architecture did a study.
Right.
And back in 2004, we were too small in every area, for meeting space, for stack space, books, working. It was too small. Back in 2004. Since then, we've put in shelving in the library all over the place. Anywhere it was feasible to put shelving, we put shelving in so we could accommodate the media that we have in, whether it's books, audiobooks, movies. We were strapping for space. We cut out a lot of space where people sat. So we've known it's been too small in all aspects. And then since then, we've realized how much space people want. They want private, enclosed space for meetings, whether that's Zooming, whether that's meeting with who knows what, an attorney, some place where they could meet safely, not at a coffee shop where other people can overhear. But that is really a big want in our community.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's what I feel we need is more meeting space, more open space for people just to sit and read the paper. And with this new library, temporary library, there is a lot of space upstairs where I am seeing people just sit, work on their personal laptop, read, journal, places that they didn't have before. So that just makes me feel how much more we need to be able to provide people that space.
Okay, well said. Thank you. Thank you, Beth. I know there have been other libraries recently in the borough that have been built. I'm familiar with at least two of them because I've used them in various ways, and that, of course, is Sutton and Wasilla. And I remember using the older libraries. Sutton was particularly instructive because, whoa, was that a tight little space. And once it transformed, I know that for the community there, it became an incredible asset, doing everything that you've described. I've attended many performances there, et cetera. And, of course, the same could be said over in Wasilla, where they have multiple spaces, et cetera, et cetera. Well, and so I think that sounds like the right direction. There was another aspect of this that both of you were involved in, and many listeners may have been attending some of the meetings, about the placement of the library with it right now on this green space. And there had been efforts made to look at the outside of the library. Again, spaces, but not just in the building. And in particular, how it fits with the continued look at developing this railroad corridor thing. Brad, from your perspective, is there any sense that while doing the library, that consideration of the railroad corridor will have a role to play?
Well, I hope it does, and I think it should. I will say that, you know, a part of these programming needs that we need, you know, figure out how the efficiency of this library works. We also need to figure out how the efficiency of the library works outside and how it interacts with you know, the facilities around it. We have a tremendous downtown. We have the depot, the community center, which provides, you know, all sorts of activities. We have the quad area, you know, we have, you know, just the whole surrounding area. And so that library needs to kind of flow outside to all of those spaces. And, you know, the railroad corridor, mm-hmm. which is about 5 acres in downtown,
right.
plays an enormous role in contributing to the library and contributing to the depot and contributing to the visitor information center, all of those facilities that the city owns and you know, contributes significant resource to. And so all of these spaces need to work together. And so, you know, the library in a new look will contribute to the railroad, and the railroad needs to give back too. So I'm hoping that we can continue to make improvements, however small they may be, you know, going forward, to just enhance the entire downtown.
Okay. Mike Malewski here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And I'm speaking with two people here from the city of Palmer, Brad Hansen and Beth Scow. And we've been focused on the library and its impact, past and hopefully future, here on the city itself. Now, Brad, you've been doing other things though too. I mean, you're Beth is focused on the library, and that's a big enough task. Your role is somewhat larger in the sense that there are other parts of the city. There are parks and rec, and there are facilities such as the MTA Event Center and so on. We want to take a moment or two here to talk about things that may be happening this summer with any of those.
Yeah, for sure, Mike. So the MTA Event Center, let's just start with that. You know, we've had a great spring season transition to summer. We've had lots of activities. We've had a number of wrestling tournaments, and we're going to have a wrestling camp in June, which, you know, contributes to the overall health of that facility because, you know, we still subsidize it a little bit. And so any kind of revenues in the off season really contribute greatly to, you know, its overall health. As far as the parks, you know, we have our parks crew going strong. I think the parks have never looked better. Downtown's clean, neat, tidy. You know, we've aerated the quad. We're going to take a special interest in the quad next couple years, trying to rid it of some dandelions and increase the health of the grass down there to really make it a showpiece area. So they're going to be spending time in that area. And then, of course, the ball fields and the soccer fields, which right. contribute greatly to, you know, the youth recreation, but also bringing people to town and, you know, just as a synergy for all the other businesses and activities. You know, so the crew is working really hard on trying to do their best to make this grass. Of course, you know, last year at this time, we were about, 25 degrees warmer with absolutely no rain, and we were feverishly, frantically trying to water everything in sight. And this year we don't have that problem, but, you know, we could use a little warmer weather. As far as the building department and the other offices where I normally reside, you know, we're busy as ever. We have a rezone going to take place up in Cedar Park area for our Cedar Hills area for the Mat-Su Borough wanted to expand their facility from an EMS station to a fire station, as well as some other technological things. And then we also have a conditional use permit for the relocation of Lucas Substation. Those of us who have lived here for a long time know Lucas Substation is right there on the Glen Highway, and they want to relocate it off the Glen Highway.
Oh, finally.
And so, you know, I think it probably will be a little bit better appearance coming into town. And I think MEA has some plans for, I don't want to speak for MEA, but for plans for dressing that area up and make it a little more.
Okay, so who owns that property? That's an interesting question. Who owns that property in that little triangle?
That's well, the triangle part is all DOT. The city of Palmer has a
sign.
We have a sign, but we also have the maintenance authority and contract to do all those. With the expansion, we took over that. As far as the MEA, Lucas Substation, that's an MEA asset.
Got it. Okay. I'd like to shift back a bit to Beth, because as you started talking, Brad, we were looking at all of the events coming up, Colony Days and so on. The Mat-Su Gardeners are going to be out there. There's a lot of people that utilize that area, the pavilion, or the quad, et cetera. But, Beth, over the years, I've attended many events that have occurred that are associated with the library, either inside the library music or sometimes outside. Is there any of those that you foresee being able to support, even though you're where you are, still utilizing perhaps the quad or something else, or have you put them on a side for a moment?
Well, I do know the Friends of the Library are planning several events this summer are going to be in the quad, sort of next to the library and using maybe the pavilion. There's concerts they're going to have. There's other opportunities for people to come out. The story time is going to be on Tuesdays in the pavilion.
Oh, wonderful.
So, you know, we're just trying to reach out and try to give the community what they want with the space that we have.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I wondered about that. It's nice to hear that there will be. And the Friends of the Library has had historically a major role in supporting the library, and I'm happy to hear they're stepping up here too as well.
Well, and since the collapse on February 15th, there's been many people who have joined the Friends, and they've received over $21,000 since February 15th in donations towards for the library.
Okay.
So, you know, there's an outpouring from the people that love the library and want to support it and make it come back.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, that leads to maybe a final question that I would have. I walk by the building every day. I see it's still there. It's not falling any further, and it's sort of off limits. How would you advise people to treat that building? You don't want people going inside or climbing on the roof or anything like that, I'm assuming, Brad.
Yeah, it's still a dangerous structure. We should have fencing up around that thing very soon to restrict access even further from it.
Okay.
And, you know, what that'll do is also give us greater access to the library parking lot and the grass area to be able to continue to utilize those spaces without jeopardizing someone's,
Right. Okay. Yeah. And you still have those big boxes, the silver boxes that books go into.
Is that absolutely.
Okay.
And we empty those twice a day and once on the weekend, once a day on the weekends. So we're encouraging people to use that to return their items. We get those and check them right in.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you both. Any last comments for listeners, Brad?
Well, we just have a busy June, Mike. Calling today's coming up. Bike race this weekend, which ends at the library parking lot, by the way. Scottish Highland Games. June's a fun month in Palmer.
Right. Have you chosen the 25 or the 100 mile?
I'm very supportive of bike races.
Beth, any last comments?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Thank you both for coming in here, taking the time, doing all the work you do. And I look forward to talking with you again. Here we go.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.